Okay, so what are the strategies for defeating the Yetzirah? In Sefer Bereishis, you have very few, if any, portraits, because most of Sefer Bereishis is theological, teaching us basic principles of theology, creation, hashkacha, schar va'onesh, nevuah, ruach hakodesh, and Beinu Machavero, the ways that our avos interacted with their neighbors and their colleagues and their families. The only two scenes you have which help us understand how we battle the Yitzhara, however you define the Yitzhara, there are different ways to define the Yitzhara. Is it an evil force within you? Is it an evil force external to you? Is it not an evil force, but just the inability to calibrate your tools properly? There's no Yitzhara per se. It's just different strategies to understand the Yitzhara, but how do you fight the Yitzhara? We all know that when you feel something that you shouldn't, and you have to battle that urge, that tendency, we'd call that the Yitzhara, whatever its origin is. Whether it's a voice inside of you, whether it's an external force, or there's something you have to overcome, even if it's an internal calibration. So the two scenes we have is Adam and Chava, of course, but we don't really know much of Sefer Bereishis, what's happening in Gan Eden, what does it mean to have Yitzhara before there was the Yitzhara, before the Yitzhadas Tovara. So it's very murky in the Rabban sense of that. But if Sefer Parshas Bereishis is murky, Parshas Vayeshev isn't murky. Yosef is in Mitzrayim. Yosef has been persecuted psychologically his whole life. No one understands how much talent he has. He's a dreamer. Finally, someone gets him. The person that gets him isn't just a person, but a woman. It's always good when a woman gets you for a male ego. I mean, this is not just a sexual desire. This is very, very deep psychology. Yosef's looking for someone that validates him and affirms all of his dreams and talent. And on top of that, pragmatically, this is his ticket to the top. Because if he marries his master's wife, he becomes a nobleman. As a nobleman in Egypt, he can fulfill all of his dreams of becoming a politically influential individual. So there's a lot of psychology at hand there. How does Yosef resist? So if you look at the pasuk, it sounds like there are two parts to Yosef's resisting. First of all, Vayimayin. And of course, the cantillation, the trap on Vayimayin is very dramatic. Shoshalas Vayimayin. So we can't miss that word. It's a word you can't miss. If you have a little bit of time, I'll get back to that word. And then after he resists, then he starts to explain Vayomar Leisha Sadonav. Hey, Nadoni, Loyadaisi, Ma'iti Ma'babayin, Vachalashay Shonathan Biyadi. After all, my master. So there are two interesting notes here, the Sfasemis registers. First of all, the Vayamayin followed by the explanation. You would think there's an explanation followed by Vayamayin, where the master's wife, Bashis Potiphar, makes an offer. He sits there and says, look, these are the reasons for, these are the reasons against, here are the reasons against. You know what? I've decided not. It's not a good idea. It sounds like the order is inverted. Vayamayin, so once he resists, so the episode is over. What does he have to explain? The explanation should precede the decision. Why the decision and then the explanation? Number one. Number two is, what is the explanation? So let's start with the first question, then we'll get to the second question. First question, the Sfasema says repeatedly, sometimes when you face the Yitzhara, you just need the courage to draw a red line, walk away, say no, fold your tent, resist, without understanding why or the merits, the demerits, should you, shouldn't you, sometimes too sophisticated and too complicated a calculus as to why a person should avoid sin can end up confusing you, can end up being less potent, less effective, less graphic. You have to have that courage just to get up every once in a while and say, Vayimayin, this is not for me. I know it's not for me instinctively. I know I shouldn't be in this location. I know I shouldn't be exposed to this. I know I shouldn't be as salacious in my Yetzirah, in my Lashon Hara. And then later I'll think about the ways and strategies for the next time to fight my Yetzirah. So Yosef is providing a roadmap. First, Vayimayin. Do you have the strength of character and the piety? Sometimes people are too smart for their own good. With piety, it's particularly true. Not everything's a cheshbon, not everything has to be thought out, not everything has to be reasoned. Sometimes, you'll see this in life, sometimes people with greater sophisticated thinking have a harder time just saying no to something. He's always trying to assess and filter and consider. Sometimes you just have to have moral strength and say, this is something I'm going to be pious about and I'm going to avoid. So Yosef avoids, Vayimayin. After he avoids, he then explains the reason for his avoidance. Now what is the reason? Now, with Chassidus, of course, everything is iconic and everything is hieroglyphic and everything is symbolic. So Yosef is explaining to his master's wife, by the way, my master, he trusted me. He empowered me. He endowed me with full control. Therefore, I want to avoid the chet. Yosef is not just talking to his master's wife. Yosef is talking to himself and not just about his master, but about his master. Namely, one of the reasons that Yosef wants to avoid chet is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me Bechira Chavshis. By delivering Bechira Chavshis and the ability to sin, listen to this word, I am honor-bound not to abuse that Bechira Chavshis. The original Musa Yeshivas were very reductive. The world is dark, the world is empty, the world is absent, the world is full of devils. The second wave of Musa was Slobodka Musa, that a human being is a prince. A human being is a prince with great potential. Don't compromise that potential just for momentary, transitory pleasure. So in the classic Musa world, if an attractive woman walks down the street, you know how you battle your lust or your desire? You say, Rima Vitalea. That woman is worms and dust, and I shouldn't be attracted to her because she's going to fade and her beauty will fade with the passage of time. Reductive, rejecting beauty. Whereas in Slobodka, the Musa was two words in Yiddish, you know, a little Yiddish, pasnisht. It's not appropriate for me. She's beautiful, but it's not appropriate for a person of my station or my potential to squander all that opportunity just for 5 minutes of joy, just for my eyes should enjoy watching. There's a whole different view. This is a little bit different than Slobodka. It's not that it passed this because I'm a prince, but Hashem delivered this gift of freedom of choice. And the honorable thing to do would be not to waste it. See, those words have lost some of their currency in today's world. When's the last time you did something based on honor or duty? We are very, very functional. We're very pragmatic. We take actions based on, sometimes it can be moral pragmatism in them, but when's the last time you said, I'm honor-bound, I'm duty-bound. HaKadosh Baruch Hu delivered this gift. If I abused the gift, he could have exerted control over all my actions and avoided sin in the world. Instead, he delivered freedom of choice to me, and with that freedom of choice comes the prospect of sin. I'm duty-bound not to waste that gift or to violate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's trust in me. Again, Hein Adoni, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, Yosef speaking about Hashem. Lo yadaiti ma bavayit. He doesn't know what my heart's thinking. He knows what my heart's thinking, but he doesn't have control. V'chol sheyesh lo nasan biyadi. And all the freedom of choice that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had, he delivered to me. I should be careful. It's a very interesting concept. I'm trying to help you understand this because I'm not sure that you even are familiar with the concept of honor. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu trusted me, then how can I betray that trust? It's a very different way to look at sin and Yitzhahara and avoiding Yitzhahara. And of course, the answer is that the more strategies you have against the Yitzhahara, the more you'll be successful. Because there are many, many vicissitudes and situations in life, and if you just have one blunt instrument and you try to bang every nail with that one instrument, you won't be successful. You need a lot of tools in your tool chest, and different inclinations and different predilections and different situations will call upon and conjure different responses. And this is an interesting response. I'm almost if I'm a partner with Hashem. Hashem's my partner. Hashem gave me freedom of choice. How can I let down my partner when he trusted me and he has the B'chol Asher Yesh Lo B'Bayit? In Neni Gadol B'Bayis Hazeh, there's no one like me in this world. There's no one with freedom of choice. There's no one with human potential. Now I'm good. It's a little bit Slobodka. It's a little bit different from Slobodka, but it's clearly different from the classic Moser. Oh, she's ugly and she's disgusting and she's repulsive and there's a sense. So the two Sfasemis as we saw today, so sometimes there has to be an immediate repellent and a revulsion to sin that isn't calculated, that isn't reasoned. Vayimayin. Then you think about the reasons. Second of all, the reason Yosef suggests, he's talking to himself as well as to his master wife, is I've been given freedom of choice. Different Sfasemis. At one point, he's not even talking to his master's wife. He's talking to himself. He's not even talking to himself. He doesn't need that Moshe Shmos. He's just explaining to his master's wife. But from his own standpoint, he's even more instinctive not to sin by your mind. He doesn't need an explanation. But whatever explanation it is, wherever he's targeting, Hashem trusted me with freedom of choice. I can't betray the trust. I'll just share in the last half minute one of my favorite non-Sfasemis Chassidish of Arts. When Parshas Vayeshev, when Yosef resists, what's the word Vayimayin? That's an atypical word. That word appears somewhere else in Parshas Vayeshev. Where else? Beforehand.
Yaakov.
Very good. When Yaakov is told that Yosef is dead, Vayimayin lehisnachem. That's pretty coincidental that the word Vayimayin, which hardly appears in Chumash, appears twice in Vayeshev about Yosef. One, that Yaakov refused to be consoled about Yosef. He didn't give up hope. Two, that Yosef had the ability to resist Eshes Potipharah. The answer is, the Ishbit says, that metaphysically, obviously, Yosef doesn't know about Yaakov, but metaphysically, when you know people rely on you and don't give up hope on you, then you have stronger faculties and stronger capabilities. So because Yaakov refused to give up hope on Yosef, Yosef had the strength to resist Eshes Potipharah. It's an extremely important psychologically educational tool. That when you want people to up their game, let them know that you think highly of them and you're not giving up hope for them, even when they let you down. If people feel that you've given up hope on them and you don't see them in a certain way, they will not rise to the occasion. If people feel empowered by your hope and your trust and your confidence in them, they will perform better. So, of course, Yosef isn't hearing about Yaakov. It's more metaphysical. But because no one's giving up hope for Yosef, he's able to rise to the occasion and resist. Because of Vayimayin Lehisnachim, therefore Vayimayin Yosef. It's a very, very deep psychological concept about parents and children and raising and rabbis and talmidim. So believe it or not, I'm not giving up hope on anyone here. You let me down. Not you, you come to Minyan, but if you don't come to Minyan, let me down. I still have hope that they will rise to the occasion and come join the post-Minyan Shiurim. Have a good day, everyone.